Let's take our Bibles this morning, please. Turn to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, this morning, chapter 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 1. You might notice in your bulletin that we have an announcement for way off in the future. I'm really excited about it, and I hope you'll start praying now. Pastor Stone and Bible Baptist Church want to bring the HELP program to Simcoe next summer. And what a wonderful ministry that would be, and give us a great shot in the arm. And we minister to Port Dover, Delhi, Simcoe, and Waterford, likely. And so we're really excited about that. I hope you'll pray about that even now, that the power of God will work through our workers, and we'll see many souls come to Jesus Christ. And so I don't know if you're familiar with the HELP program at all, but next summer, it's an evangelistic campaign that will stretch across many different communities, and we'll have probably about 130, 140 workers every day of the week, and revival meetings every night. And so it's such a great opportunity to minister to our community. Now, let's take our Bibles this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. The title of my message goes along with our theme for the day, Giving Your Children Back to God. Giving your children back to God. Have you ever given your children back to God? Have you ever done that? Now, I'm not talking about those days when you get frustrated and look for some place you can return them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually this morning. You know, I think it's very important that we understand that some things about our children, we must recognize that our children are a precious gift from the Lord, and they belong to Him first. Psalms 127, verse 3, Pastor Glowacki just read a moment ago, and it says, children are a heritage of the Lord. That word heritage is the same, or it comes from the same word we get inheritance, or they are given to us or lent to us by the Lord. And so they are His, and they are gifts from Him. We must understand that God is responsible for the way in which they were designed and already has a plan and purpose in place for our children. We must remember that. You know, I really feel bad for a parent that would hinder God's will for their child. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said that if we offend any of these little ones, it would be better that a millstone were hung above his neck and he was thrown into the depths of the sea. He said, well, there's no capital punishment in the Bible. It doesn't get more capital than that, friend. We are not to offend God's little ones. I would encourage you and implore you today to encourage your children, your grandchildren, your nephews and nieces to live for God. We are responsible to do that. And thirdly, we must realize that God has given us the responsibility to show them His way. We must guide them and direct them. We are to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, there are many in the Word of God that we could turn to today to see how they gave their children back to God. We have the wonderful, great example of Abraham, don't we? He was willing to lay his child, Isaac, upon an altar and sacrifice him and saying, God, he is your child. I'll do whatever you want with him. That's hard for us to understand and to swallow, but that was God's plan. And of course, God spared Isaac. But Abraham, in effect, said, Lord, I love you more than I love this child. So we need to realize that's a wonderful example of somebody giving their child to God. There's also the example of Mary and Joseph. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, they came when Jesus was only 8 days old, and the Bible says they came to present him to the Lord. When you present something, you're giving it as a gift. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was given as a gift back to the Lord. Now, the account that we'll examine today, we find in 1 Samuel. We find this dear lady Hannah as she gave her children to the Lord. And let's read together in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Jump down to verse 10 with me. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Look in verse 20 now. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful once again for Calvary and for the blood that was shed. Father, we are thankful that the Word of God meets every need in our life and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, but also for instruction in righteousness. And today we find a passage of Scripture that is instructive. It helps us to know how we must treat and raise our children. Father, there's many passages in Scripture that relate to this, but the one that we have chosen today, we pray that you'd help us to receive from it. Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would teach us from these examples that we have and from the Word that we have before us. Father, help me. I need your help. Fill me with thy Spirit. I surrender to thee. And may the Spirit of God speak to each heart in this room. May we understand that today this message is not just for those with children, but it's for grandparents as well. It's for aunts. It's for uncles. It's for brothers and sisters. For those that have contact with children, that we might encourage them to live for God. So Lord, use this as a great time of teaching in our church and help us, we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We know this morning from reading the Word of God that Samuel was a miracle, wasn't he? How many of you would agree with that this morning? Hannah, the Bible says that her womb had been shut up, that there was no chance for her to have children. And I believe that likely as she grew and aged and the worry began to come over her that why did she not have children? Every year, her husband would divide portions. Now, I'm not sure of the culture or what, but I don't know that her husband was very wise in how he behaved. First of all, he had two wives. And we know that that was not God's plan right from the start, but we see that he had two wives, and one was called Peninnah, who had children. She had sons and daughters. And every year he would give those sons and daughters portions or gifts to help them in their life. But unto Hannah, the Bible says, he gave unto her a worthy portion, for he loved her. Though God had shut up her womb, she had a husband that loved her, but this just caused greater tension between these two women, didn't it? For the one had children, and she was doing her best to give her husband these sons and these daughters and be a blessing to him, and yet he loved Hannah more. The one that could give him no children. And so Hannah, with the burden in her heart, the Bible says she was of sorrowful spirit. She went to the temple that year to pray and to worship God. And while she was there, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She wept and prayed for her son. And she made this vow to God. God, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. A razor will never touch his head. In other words, he was going to be a Nazarite from his birth. It was a vow that she made to God. And now the time was come a little bit later. Finally, the child was weaned. And it's time for them to appear before the Lord, and she kept her word. I don't know about you, but I would find this a very difficult thing. You have prayed for this child, you're hoping for this child, and when God finally gives you this child, you keep that child for maybe a year, maybe 2 years, until the child is weaned, and when it came time for sacrifice, you go up to the temple, and with joy in your heart, give that child away. Wouldn't that be an awful, difficult thing to do? Can you imagine? I don't know if anybody here has ever experienced it. It's not my business, but I can't imagine giving any child up for adoption. That must be a heart-wrenching thing for parents. But let alone having the child for a couple years, after you've grown that attachment to them, after you've grown to love that child, and then turn that child over to somebody else to raise. That'd be a horrible, difficult thing, wouldn't it? This miracle child, this one that had come from God. But I want to ask you the question today, what if Hannah had refused to give Samuel to God? We really don't know what might have happened. But can we say today that it is very likely that Samuel would not have experienced the blessing of God in his life? God used Samuel to do some great things in his life. It was Samuel that is listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Right near the end of the chapter, it says that, if I can paraphrase, Paul says, I don't have any more time to tell you about Gideon and Samuel and others. But he was there listed in that great chapter of faith. It was Samuel that came and one by one went through Jesse's sons, and then he finally found David and anointed him to be the king of Israel. God used Samuel to do some great things for God. But I wonder today if Hannah had been selfish. Had she not kept her vow, had she not given her child to God, what would have happened in his life? I say that to say this, God had a plan for Samuel's life. And what might have happened if her parents had been selfish? Do you know that God has a plan for your life as well? God has a plan for your children's life. I hope and I pray that I never stand between my children and God's plan for their lives. I've had the wonderful privilege over the last 8 years of having a friend in Hamilton, Mr. Larry Brown. Larry's daughter was here a couple Sunday nights ago. She's marrying Pastor Scott's daughter, sat right over here, Brittany. He also has an older daughter named Teresa, and many times that I prayed with Mr. Brown over the years, every single time he prayed that God would use his children to be missionaries. He says, God, send them where I cannot go. Take them to people that need the gospel that are not being reached. He prayed that every single time we prayed together. Whether it be Wednesday night, whether sometimes he'd just stop by my office to pray, sometimes he'd call me on the phone to see how I'm doing, and he'd pray with me on the phone to encourage me. But every time, without fail, he prayed that God would use his children. He's so thrilled today that his oldest daughter's already married a preacher boy. And they've gone to China on a missions trip, and they're in the process now of giving their hearts and lives to go to the mission field. What Mr. Brown was saying was, I don't want to stand in the way of my children serving God. I want God to have control of their lives, and I don't want to do anything to hinder his plan for them. It's not always easy. I remember the night I had to call my mom and tell her we were planning on going to Africa. You think I shot her? It's devastation. It's difficult to think you might not see your children and your grandchildren for long periods of time. We have people in this church that have children that are serving on the foreign field. And you know what I'm talking about today, how difficult it is. But we know it's right to give those children to the Lord. When we hold on to our children, we hold them back from God's plan. We may be forfeiting God's blessing in their life. Let me give you four things today about giving your children back to God. The first thing we find in Scripture, if I can show you this morning, is that giving your child to God is a confirmation of your love for God. How many of you think that Hannah loves Samuel? How many of you think that this morning? No doubt in my mind. This is what she prayed for. She had pleaded with God for a son, and she understood that he was a very precious gift from God, and so there's no doubt in my mind that she loved him, but I want you to notice that she loved God more. Let me say this, friends. Our children are this precious gift from God, and it's something that God has entrusted us with, and it's very important that we love our children and give them that nurture and admonition that they need, but friend, don't let them ever take the place of God in your life. God is first. And Hannah never forgot that. We need only read chapter 2 to find how much she loved the Lord. The Bible says in verse 28 of chapter 1 that she lent him to the Lord. And in chapter 2 in verse 1 it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." Hannah loved the Lord. And because she gave her child to the Lord, it was reason for her to rejoice. That she knew that in God's plan, everything would be okay. The story is told of a lady that her child was dying on his deathbed. And the doctor said, "There's really no hope here. There's nothing we can do." And so they called in the preacher. The pastor came to the bedside and he prayed, "Lord, we don't know what you're going to do with this child. We're just asking for your will." The woman interrupted the prayer and says, "No, I don't want God's will. I want my child to live." And so the pastor left and the family began to pray and they begged and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded. 23 years later, that boy was executed for murder. You see, had that child died in infancy, perhaps they would have been ushered into the hands of God. God knows what's best, doesn't he? We need to trust him. A couple years ago, we had a dear couple in our church die. They died 1 week apart. It was such an interesting scenario. Mr. and Mrs. Armchuk, Mr. Armchuk had a bad heart. And so his wife was suffering from Alzheimer's and he was taking care of her. But he said, I'm going to have to put her in a nursing home. If anything happens to me, he says, she'd be lost here. So he put himself in the nursing home as well, so he'd never be apart from her. I thought that was awful sweet. He didn't need to be there. He went out, he snuck out every day and went for long walks all by himself and went up and bought him and his wife a candy bar every day. And just didn't need to be there, but he wanted to be with his wife. And this, he was such a godly man with great spiritual insight. And as a matter of fact, the night he died, he went to the nurse's. You're going to ask me about this later. I cannot explain it. He went up to the nurse's station and asked for a piece of paper and a pen. They gave him the paper and the pen, and he said, "I'm going home tonight." He says, "I want to leave some notes for my family." And they thought, what is he doing? Is he checking out? No, he died that one night and went home to the Lord. Amazing thing. Pastor McLean, I was in Africa at the time. Pastor McLean did his funeral and told me about that. Isn't that an amazing testimony? 1 year before they died, they lost a daughter to cancer. Mom already was suffering from Alzheimer's and struggling, and the tears in her eyes, she just didn't understand what was going on. She couldn't understand why her daughter was laying up there in a coffin. It really was confusing to her. I went into the nursing home, and I went up to the Armchuk's room, and I took some flowers, and I walked in the door and I said, "Mr. Armchuk, I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter." And with a great big smile, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." See, Mr. Armchuk had given his family to the Lord. And he was saying with that statement, "God, you know what's best. You do what you see fit." Just 1 year later, they were reunited with their daughter. And I'm sure there was great joy in heaven that day. Hannah demonstrated her love and fear for God were supreme in her life above all else. By the way, when you give your child to God, you're also confirming your love for your child. I want you to think about that today. You saying to your child, "I love you so much. I want the very best care for you, so I'm giving you to God and trusting you to his care." Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." You know, Hannah never had the promise of any other children when she gave up Samuel. Think about that this morning. She took her child and she gave him over to the Lord. But she never had a promise that she'd have another child. That's faith, isn't it? There's some here today who say, "Well, I don't want my child to go to the mission field. They're the only ones I have. They're the ones I'm depending upon. Why don't we trust God rather than depend upon them?" Hannah did. Giving your children, secondly, to God is a clarification of ownership. Chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. You know, I want you to understand something, that next year, the Bible that we hold in our hands will be 400 years old. And in that time, of course, some of the words mean a little bit different than sometimes, so we have to look a little deeper. That word Lent doesn't mean what we think it means in our common usage today. It means what the word was intended to mean when it was first coined. And so we often think of the word Lent as, I'm going to let you borrow something. This word Lent, I looked it up in the Greek or the Hebrew to be sure of its meaning. It means this: it means to beg, to plead, to implore, to lay to charge. In other words, Hannah was saying to God, God, I beg you, take my child. I'm imploring you, I'm pleading with you, I'm giving you his care. That's what Hannah was saying. And so she was saying to God, you're in charge. She was openly declaring that the child was a gift from God. We are openly declaring when we give our children to the Lord that this child really does not belong to me. The child belongs to God. Isn't that what Abraham was saying when he laid down Isaac upon that altar? If that child belonged to Abraham, he could rightfully say, no, God, this is my child. I'm going to do with him what I please. But Abraham never did that. He said, God, he is yours. I give him to you. And if you believe that you need to sacrifice him as a proof of my love, as a proof of my obedience, that's fine by me. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he believed that God would raise him up again if he took his life there on Mount Moriah. Giving your children to God is a clarification of ownership. Psalm 127 verse 3, I'll read that verse again. Children are an heritage of the Lord. We had better be careful how we deal with God's property. Think about that. The Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We are just stewards of what God has given us, and that includes not just our money and our finance, but it includes our children. They are a heritage of the Lord. They are given to us by the Lord. We are to encourage them in the Lord. Do you know that God did not authorize the province or day school or daycare or anybody else to raise your children? He gave you the authority to raise his children. We need to take that responsibility. Now, all the others can help. The church can help. The Sunday school teacher can help. The school can help. But friend, it is your responsibility. You are stewards of God over your children. Thirdly, this morning, giving your children to God is a commitment to raise them God's way. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it? God has given us those children that we might raise them his way. I remember years ago, I was probably just a teenager, but I remember Mrs. Tyrrell telling me this, that when Baraka was born, that they laid Baraka up on Diane's chest, and the first thing she said was, Jesus loves you. I remember the family telling me that. I think that's a wonderful testimony. That ought to be the first thing we express to our children, that Jesus loves you. And so we have a responsibility as parents and grandparents and whatever influence we have over children to raise them God's way. Hannah wanted the very best for her son, so she committed him unto the Lord. The Bible says, if we look back in verse 11, that no razor shall come upon his head. She dedicated him to the life of a Nazarite. Let me say this to those this morning that dedicated their children. To give your child to the Lord is not a ceremony. It's a commitment. We must be committed to raising our children God's way. Let me ask you this, friends. Do you believe it was easy for Hannah to do what she did? No, but she made her vow and she committed her life to it. It's never an easy thing to give over ownership of those things that we love the most, but we must give our commitment to raise God's children his way. Parents must be committed to being godly parents. We must be willing to sacrifice those things of the world that we hold dear, that we might be a godly example. We must be willing to teach those children of Jesus Christ. We must pray for them. We must train them. We must make our homes holy. We must, by the way, we must stay married for them. Everybody catch that? There's a lot of good reasons to stay married. Not the least, of course, God forbids divorce. But God has given you the joint responsibility of raising your children. He has not given it to a stepfather or a stepmother. He's given it to you. We should stay married for those children. It takes commitment to raise a child. Listen, Hillary Clinton says it takes a village. No, it doesn't. It takes parents that are godly and righteous before the Lord. Look, if you will, at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. The nation of Israel had now passed into the promised land. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel together at Shechem, and he called for the elders of each of those tribes, and he began to instruct them. And in verse 14, he says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I appreciate so much what Joshua was saying. He said, well, he's giving them permission to serve these other gods. I don't believe that's the case. He was saying you can't dare serve the real God and serve all these other ones today as well. So you need to choose you this day whom you will serve. He says you can't serve the God of the Amorites and also serve God. You can't do both. He said, I'll tell you one thing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That ought to be the commitment that each one of us makes, that we might be the example that we need to be, not just to our children and our grandchildren, but the church family that we have here. The Bible says the older men are to be examples to the younger, and the older ladies, example to the younger ladies. That's going to take commitment. Giving our children to the Lord is a commitment to raise them God's way. Fourthly this morning, and finally, giving your children to the Lord is claiming God's plan and promises for the child's life. Back in 2 Samuel, we see in our scripture this morning, or sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 3. We know the story as Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The Bible says that one night he laid his head down, and the Lord called out and said, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel thought it was Eli, so he ran into the other room and woke Eli, and Eli said, "No, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep." And this happened three different times, and finally Eli said to him, "The next time you hear that voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and in verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.' And the Lord said to Samuel," we'll stop right there. Giving your children to the Lord is claiming God's plan and promises for your children's life. Can you imagine if Hannah had been selfish and said, "No, I'm not going to let Samuel go to the temple. I'm not going to keep my word." One of the most wonderful privileges we see in the Word of God is the opportunity Samuel had to converse with God. Can you imagine that? How many of you would like that privilege today? If God would say, "I'll give each of you 5 minutes to come and sit at my feet and ask any questions you want and talk to me openly." How many of you would like that? Can I say this? I don't think we'd have many questions. We stand in the glory of God. I think all of our questions would be wiped away, don't you? We'd have nothing but answers before us. But here was Samuel with the most wonderful privilege of laying in bed one night, and God said, "Samuel," he says, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And he says, "Samuel, I've got something to tell you." Oh, what a wonderful blessing from God. Not only that, God used Samuel all the days of his life to do great things for God. You say, was Samuel perfect? No, Samuel, of course, failed to restrain his sons, and God anointed kings over Israel because these two sons of Samuel were so wicked. He was not a perfect man, but God allowed him to do so many great things for the glory of the Lord. I wonder what if Hannah had hindered that plan, but she chose not to. Samuel experienced the wonderful blessings of God because of his mother's obedience to the Lord. God's way is always the best way. How many of you believe that this morning? God's way is always the best way. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, He will not depart from it. You know, I'm not that old yet. I'm 38 years old. But already, it's kind of a strange thing. I see my father a lot. Both physically, I know some of you will say, my dad was 150 pounds soaking wet. So not quite there, but sometimes I'll look in the mirror and I'll take my glasses off and I'll look in the mirror and my dad had a lazy left eye, and when he got tired it drooped a lot, and so do I. So every once in a while I'll look in the mirror and I'll see my dad looking back at me, especially when I'm tired. But I find myself saying things to my children that my dad said to me that I thought didn't make any sense. I'll say things and I'll hear my father's voice come out of my mouth. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to tease my dad. I say, Dad, don't you ever wear a pair of jeans? He always wore kind of like khakis, or you know what I'm talking about, just casual pants. Never wore jeans. I say, Dad, you never wear jeans. He said, oh, they're so hot. I never wear jeans now. They're too hot. I say to my dad, you never relax and just put a t-shirt on to go to yard work. You always got a button-up shirt. I always wear a button-up shirt. I find that I'm molded after my father. And you say, well, is it because of your nature? Perhaps some, but I think some of it's nurture. Some of the things that I've been taught are stuck in my head and I can't get them out. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we can get them the Word of God. I remember when I was very young and I came to Sunday school, the first verse I can ever remember memorizing in Sunday school was Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. I must have been over four years old or so, and I went over it. I remember going over it in parts and going over it and over it in the back of the car on the way to the Sunday school because I still wasn't comfortable. I had it, and I had to say my memory verse. But it is stuck in my head to this day. I cannot forget it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness. Something that was instilled in my heart as a child has never left. God's promise is if we will train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand. Speak to our hearts, and we thank you for the godly example of Hannah as she gave her child to God and demonstrated that she was confirming her love for God, that she was clarifying who owned her children, that she was committing to raise her child God's way, and that she was claiming God's plan and promises for his life. Oh, Father, may we do the same thing this morning. Speak to our hearts. Lord, maybe there's some parents, some grandparents, maybe there's some here with no children whatsoever that would say, I want to be an example to my nephews, my nieces, to the children in the Sunday school and on the buses, that we might see them have godly examples before them. And Father, may we just give those children to you, for your way is always the best way. We thank you and praise you for the time that we've spent together. Help it to be profitable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.